Have you purchased a rental item that is just collecting dust?
We made that same mistake.
And spent $10,000 on items that's not even leaving the warehouse.
Want to learn how you can prevent wasteful inventory spending?
Stay tuned as we discuss how to choose items that your clients will be interested in and sell out. Let's get this money. So this is something that me and Eddie's been doing from the very beginning. Really just doing market research. I know once you guys probably heard about it, don't really understand the whole concept. We're going to kind of go over what this actually is and then how the basics that we do it. So me and Eddie, I forgot when we started. Remember one time we just started putting random stuff on the site? Was it the trash can thing?
Yeah, I think it was trash cans and...
No, but what was the debate on the trash can? Remember that?
Well, I'm the one that said we should rent trash cans.
Yeah, I know, but what was the debate on it? You remember that?
Like, nobody wants no trash can.
Yeah, who said what?
I don't remember, but somebody said something.
It was only me and you. So who else was going to be?
Somebody said something. I don't remember who it was, but I think it was you. You're like...
I think it was me. It was only me and you.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was you.
No, but there was only me and you.
Sometimes I don't remember the who was on which side, and sometimes I know that the conversation was definitely there.
Let's say.
But yeah, we were like, who's going to rent? Who wants to rent a trash can? And those things start going like hotcakes. Now we have, I don't know how many trash cans, like pallets full of trash cans.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, because we started out renting trash cans and we put the liners in there. Mm. And then we, which is the trash bags, if you guys don't know, because I didn't know he was talking about it at first. We talked liners. Like, no one says that. But so whatever. So but that's kind of something that we started out with. The biggest thing we kind of did was there's a couple different ways that you can kind of go through, which we'll discuss a little later. But the biggest thing is that you just want to make sure that your customers actually want what you're trying to sell or the market can hold it. Generally, this would be through demand of something that they're asking for or are you putting something out there and then you're getting the feedback and demand for it. But when you do this, you don't want to just look at anything. Because when you could have market research, one way that we kind of go through the whole process of it is that, like, we want to actually make sure that this item is going to go out. And that's the whole reason of the whole thing, is to get it from there. And then you really want to be building on, like, what stuff you already have. And there's a different couple of ways. You have some things that create new orders, some things that get added to new orders. So, like, let me give you an example. Like, a trash can, no one. Actually, I don't know if we had any, actually, so I can't say this right here, actually. No one's not going to just come there and just buy one trash can for you. So trash cans are something that add on to orders. But someone might come to you and rent some white chairs, might rent this, they might rent a tent. And those are your items that create new orders. Then you have items that come on the back that actually build the orders out. So when you're conducting your market research and you actually, like, because I know, like I said before, most people, because even us, we didn't use this term at first. We just, like... Basically, like, do people want the stuff or not? Like, can we make our money back in 3 to 4 rentals on the extra stuff that wasn't the core items?
Yeah.
What would you say, like, when your first kind of experiences, when we first started off, when we're testing this stuff off?
Well, I just tested the waters and see if it was actually something that people wanted.
Yeah. So you did, the first thing you did was market research.
Yeah, exactly, because okay. I'm not just going to look at this. Yeah. Just buy something and say, all right, this is what's going to happen. But, yeah, I did a little bit of market research, and then also I just kind of looked around and saw that a lot of people were just renting tables and chairs, so I was like, let me go ahead and jump in that. But then at the same time, I was like, well, I can get the little bounce house in there, too, and kind of take the whole kind of pie, per se.
You were a bounce house pot guy.
Yeah, I was a bounce house guy, so I was like, let me get there. And then I saw that kind of a need for tents, because people were asking for tents. I was like, well, shoot, let me go ahead and get into tents, too. And then the later on down the game, we all know that I kind of backed away from the bounce house game. But, yeah, that's how I started off.
Okay. Yeah. So when you first started, did you, where did you test that at? Like, where did you test the stuff out at?
Well, I just set out at Marketplace. I kind of saw, like, everybody's posts. I got kind of did a general, like, cost of, like, what it would be, like, if I did the business and, like, I mapped out and said, okay, if I have this much inventory, how much can I make in a week? And then I finally pulled the trigger because it just made sense to me.
Yeah. So how much could you make in that first week?
The first week?
Yeah.
The first week, I think it was like $1,500.
$1,500.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you know, some right now is like
one order. That's a lot,
but
though.
But at the time, yeah, it was great. But I think...
that gives you $75,000 a year.
Yeah, because originally, like, when I first started off, I had like, I don't know, $10,000. So I got the trailer, the tables, the chairs, and the bounce houses. And then with the profits, and that's when I had the tent, because people just kept asking, like, I want a tent. I was like, I'm tired of letting this money slide out of my hand. So
yeah, then you got the 2-for-1. Yeah, right. One for two. What is it? What's it called?
Buy one get one free. Yeah, buy one get one free.
The BOGOs.
Yep. And then I was looking at you, and I was like, "Come on, hurry up, load this up for for they find out."
They said like, "What?" Because like, you remember when we were there?
Because we're all like confused.
I thought we had videos of this. I don't know, but we do, I don't know. We probably don't.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's back in the days.
But I think we did have video.
But remember, we walked up there, and then like you were going through the tents and stuff, and then I start counting the poles, and I'm like. Like, damn,
wait,
man,
there's
like,
more like, poles.
Like, this is like 30 something poles right here. Like, what's going on?
I see 2 tent tops.
Yeah. So that thing was crazy.
And I was talking to the lady, distracting her, talking about her pink pallet jack. I was like, all right, this thing's nice.
Yeah. You know what Lily's saying right now? She's probably like, see, he always talking to somebody.
Hey, she's not complaining when I get them free meals.
Mm-hmm. Got that right. let's get back to what you called. But yeah, so like, just remember that you need to do this. This should be the first thing you do. Like, if you're doing anything else, I don't want you going out and buying no stuff right now. I want you just sit down and do some simple, basic, just market research. Like, what's going on in your market? What's renting? Like, what's even, like, what are people even selling? What are the prices? Like, where can you even get the stuff from? Like, before you even go buy some stuff, go buy a domain, a LLC, a bank account, you know, do anything. Pass, go, talk to your mom about this. Like, go do some market research so you can be able to see exactly what's going on. Now, the next question you're probably asking is how. But we're going to get to that right after Tina hits us with this interesting fact.
All right. So companies that frequently conduct market research are significantly more likely to report an increase in revenue over the last 12 months, which is about 76%, than those who infrequently conduct market research.
Yeah, because you don't want to be going in like the three blind mice and just going and just trying to figure out where stuff is.
Yeah.
I think as we are in business longer, mm-hmm. I think it takes us, which from first we were kind of like snappy, really into stuff. Mm-hmm. I think now we take a lot more time to before we jump into stuff just because we want to make sure when we jump in we can run with it. And I've seen that a lot more, even like when – doing this as well too, as well. This has been a process that we've been working on for about over a year and some change. Not the podcast. The podcast has been about 2 years, but like 2 years on and off, you know. Yeah. But like the actual process of getting to this point where we even would do this. And I think as you get further along, especially when you have something to lose, you start doing more market research. Now the problem is that like there is a point where you can kind of do too much market research and psych yourself out of it. Mm. And I see that happening, you know, a lot to people. You know, we see people on the different group chats. The Facebook groups. And it's always, like, every week it's someone talking about something like, I'm done with this. No more bounce houses.
Yeah, all the time. It's like, oh, man, this is horrible. Or the market's saturated. And, you know, so-and-so's doing it down the street for $100 and it comes with tables and chairs and all this stuff. One thing that I did see is, like, some people were like, well, shoot, rent that thing and then, like, subrent it from them and then have them do all the work and you add an extra $100. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think that's, like, everything. Like, we do that on some different we do it on porter bodies. We have done that on stages. We've done that on pipe and drape. Mm-hmm. So, like, if someone is most likely the person who's charging the least, usually is the person who needs the money the most and usually has the least amount of inventory. And also, too, it's a short-term strategy, and usually you can't afford to spend any money on marketing, so no one really knows about you because you don't have any margins to spend any money on anything like that. So, and one thing I have seen that we are part of the industry – we know more than the customer knows and more companies the customer knows. The customer usually doesn't know about that person on Facebook who might show up or not, the coin toss person. And yeah. If you are that person on Facebook, then that's a great opportunity if you show up every single time.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who don't, or eventually they just drop out because realistically they have nothing to lose. And we've seen people where they'll reach back out and they'll be like, hey, you know, can I still rent that one thing? I was like, I thought you said you found a better price. We don't say that then, but you know.
But it goes in your head, like, you think it, you're like,
Why don't you do that? And then they're like, well, that person is going to give you, you know, 2 tents, 100 chairs, you know, 12 tables for $100. And then, like, so it's like,
never showed up.
Yeah. And then for us, we're usually like, you know, well, if you can get that price perfect, just send us the people's information so we can work with them too.
Oh, yeah.
And we can maximize their inventory and get everything out of them. We're just going to rent their stuff for the whole year at those prices and just have them go and do our drop box. Usually they're doing free delivery too.
Yeah.
Might as well help them fill their pockets up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something you don't really have to worry too much about. Specifically, because we see people always say saturate. And the way you actually figure out where you can actually distinguish yourself in the market is really based off of doing the market research. But we're about to get in the next section into exactly what you're supposed to do. But before we go into the methods, we're going to be talking about the ultimate checklist.
The ultimate checklist is here.
So, Eddie, let us know about the ultimate checklist.
Ultimate checklist is bad boys, jam-packed full information. And the best part of it, it's totally free. Me and Xavier spent a lot of man hours in this bad boy. So check it out. It's got a lot of good information for your business, whether you've already started or you're just starting off. Check out the ultimate checklist.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're about to hit the methods. There are three methods that me and Eddie use and we recommend for you. The first one is going to be check with your competitor. That's good? I like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The second one is going to be test and buy, and the third one is going to be customer feedback and demand. So we're going to start off with the competitor. And this is probably how I would say everyone started, you started, I start the same way.
Yeah.
Look at other people in the industry and just see what's the basic items they're kind of doing.
Yeah.
And for most of us, that'll be chairs, tables, linens. If you're in that basic general one, if you're in the bounce houses, you can look at what the bounce houses are, and you'll start with like, it was like a 10 by 10, 15 by 15. You'll start one of those two, and you'll start with their kind of one that, the generic one that goes out pretty much.
Yeah.
And then you choose your category. But, like, in the party rental space, there are, like, so many categories you can go off of. You can get into AV, and you can basically run a huge business through that and don't have to worry about anything. And that can be from just, like, the production of AV, of the events and stuff. You can do straight up just lights in that section. You can do just sound. Some people would do just all the camera work and set everything up. You can do for there. But you can do pipe and drape, which, to be honest, if you run this right here, it'd be mostly it'd be trade booth shows, and you'll be doing, what you call those things on that they put the backdrop things?
What's that?
The backdrops for the on the pipe and drapes that they do when they take photos at.
The backdrop.
Your backdrops. Yeah, okay. Sorry. I'm losing myself.
I was like, what is it?
Yeah.
I was like, backdrop?
So, yeah. So, the backdrop things. Yeah. So, you can do that. But you just choose a category. And then from there, just find people in there. So, usually the best things to search online would be whatever your category is and rentals. Mm-hmm. So, that just check those out from there. But let's get into these methods. So, let's start with the competitor. So, what's the first thing we do with the competitor?
I mean, I think everything, you just look around, like, your competitors. Like, if you're going to go, you can Google and see what your competitors have. You'll see all the main players nearby, what they have to offer. If they have that, basically the same kind of items, all, we'll just say four of them, then most likely that item is very popular, and that area, you know, uses that item. For instance, like tables, chairs, or we'll just say, I don't know, a certain bounce house, maybe like a wet one, it maybe go out more. Because I know like in Florida, they have more warmer weather. So certain items are going to work better in that area versus, you know, over here or even up north, like in Chicago or whatnot. So kind of check out your competitors, see what they're running out the most, and then just make a educated decision based off of that.
Yeah. So basically the steps that he just put together. One, use Google. So search on Google. Then the next thing that you're going to do is that there will be a list of all these sites. At the very top, there will be a list of ads. If you're a respectable person, do not that respectable. If you respectable,
go ahead and click it.
If you do not click those things.
Twice.
Scroll down underneath it, because people are paying money for those, to the actual organic section or to the maps. And then click on one of those. And then it'll pop up, and it'll just be whatever the items are. And usually the first items you see are preferably going to be, or the first categories you see, whatever the items of each category they have is, will be their best items they have, or the item that rents out the most. And then just copy the basic ones. So usually the basic ones are be the plastic folding chairs, the poly chairs, garden chairs, and then for tents, it'll be from 10 to 20, 10 by 10, 15 by 15, 20 by 20, and whatever sections. Bounce houses, 10, 15, and then probably water slide. And you can work your kind of thing from there, and you can see prices and be able to see how it works on there. Now, don't be too hard on the prices on there. That's something where you might start at, but it's not where you're going to end at for that. So let's go to the second one. The second one is actually the one that I like the most.
My favorite.
Is your favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This right here where you just take a whole bunch of stuff that you like and think people might rent out and just put it on your website, and then you just get quotes from it. You don't actually run any extra ads for it. This really works well when you're doing stuff that are not, I would say, orders that create ads. I mean, not create ads. orders okay. that create, I mean, items that create orders.
Yeah.
But more for items, stuff that add on to orders. So this can be your trash cans. This can be literally almost anything, I think about it, to be honest.
Yeah.
So you can just run those from there. And you don't have to run any extra ads for it. And you'll just see that you'll get more quotes and stuff specifically with those. We recently have done this with Yard Games. And that has been working pretty well. You see that the stuff adding up. I wish we would have personally worked on it a little bit earlier, like during what do you call the season, graduation.
Mm-hmm.
We would have did even more if we had before. But that's just something that we worked on. So that's pretty straightforward. What's your favorite part about this?
Well, my favorite part about that is like there's no, you're not gonna, you know, make any kind of mistakes there. You kind of see like instant results as far as like what the people, your market actually want. You know, you put something on there and nobody wants, and it's like an easy way to say, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't buy that, and it's just gonna collect dust, kind of like what we said in the introduction. You don't want to have products on the shelf and just collecting dust; it's not going out. So you can, whatever's in your mind, you can put anything you want on there, and then the results will kind of speak for itself. If the clients are like, hey, I like that, or I want it. And then if you have enough, you know, people demanding that, you're gonna buy it, you know, obviously. But I just like it because whatever you think, you can just throw it on there, and there's no consequences, unless you can't get it fast enough, and maybe you lose a couple jobs. But there's literally no consequences. You have all to gain just by using that method.
Yeah, and I think what we've seen, too, when you first start out, you can possibly get the item rented out for a further date. And then before you even pay for it, buy it, you can have the whole item rented out to make all your money back. That's generally what you can do. Because I know, when I first started, my biggest thing was that I took orders out the further than the date that I wanted to start, so I can try to get some of the items paid for,
mm-hmm.
and I can get confirmation. And once you get to a certain point, you know, to pull the trigger. But usually it happens all of a sudden. Like we did the yard games. We just had people just start just putting yard games on stuff. People come back in through and say, hey, I know you guys have yard games. Let me add, you know, two of these on here or do this, add this on there.
Yeah.
And it's been working out. And then you'll figure out exactly what's the best way to do it. I think eventually we'll probably bring some of the yard games that we can actually make, because I like the Connect Four because that look complicated. But
we'll make one. That's fine.
But before, maybe besides that one, but we'll probably bring most of the other ones in-house, and we'll do our own branding with it in the future. But right now, we're just going to test with what we have, and it's been working a lot. So this right here, I think someone put up a comment. I don't know exactly when, but they put up a comment on there, and they asked, should they go ahead and buy the items, or should they just go through this process? This basically answers your question on there.
Yeah.
Just test whatever you want to test. You'll get stuff for it. If you want to take this one level deeper, you can actually run ads specifically for it. But most times we've seen you don't technically have to do that. But if an item does not get anything on there, it doesn't mean that no one would do it. It just might mean the people, it might just not be an add-on that you're trying to put on there. So that's just something you might need to look into for that, because it might be something that needs to be marketed to completely different than how you're doing everything else. So don't throw the baby out in the bathwater. Just know that it doesn't work with the clients you do have unless you market for it. So you have two kind of steps to go from there that you can kind of get through the whole point. But we do it on a regular basis. We have tons of items that we might not have right now that we're testing on a rolling basis. But usually we put something up, people like it, and then it kind of runs because we just have so many different people coming from different things
mm-hmm.
and adding together. I think the one thing that's really kind of rolling right now that we don't have, or we don't technically have a plan to get right now, is barricades and things. We've seen a lot of stuff come down from there. But you can take this to the next level, like we do now with the porta potties.
Oh, yeah.
Because we probably rented, I think it's like 15, 16 now. Not like just porta potty, but 15, 16 orders of different porta potties or restroom trailers or whatever it is. And like, I don't have no restroom trailer. He don't have no restroom trailer. Tina doesn't have no restaurant trip that I know of.
You go.
Yeah.
You
know. So like, and but it just works, and we just do like a 30% markup on top of it, and we just don't do any discounts associated with that, just because you know we don't have anything to discount because we're not doing any stuff. So that's kind of works, and then also that confirms the stuff, especially in something like that where like, because what's the building blocks of that? You need the truck to actually take the stuff out. Mm-hmm. But really, actually, to be honest, once you get the truck, you can take it straight to the waste yard and just dump it from there.
Yeah, realistically, I mean, we have a truck that we're not really using, so we can convert that thing into what, it, you know, basically what they do. It's just a regular pickup truck. Yeah. They literally load it up there, they roll it to the end, have like a little lift gate and goes down.
Yeah.
And have a dolly lift it over, then they just drop it.
That might, the suction thing, the clean, the thing, the sewage thing.
What sewage thing?
The thing that when they suck them out of the thing.
Oh, I don't know nothing about that, but I'm sure you can figure out something, nothing difficult.
It's just a pump, and then you have to have the whatever the graded material is for. It's like a, we'll put a photo up on the trucks, what it looks like, so you guys can see. But, like, there's actually spots. When you go over there, I did some research on it, because when I was thinking about us possibly getting into it more, you just go to the landfill, to the waste plant, and they just pump it, and it just by the gallon. And it's not even that much either. You just pump it straight through. I don't know if I'm guessing you would have a pump anyway, or I guess the output, it's one of the two. So I don't know if they're sucking it or you're pushing it out, whatever.
I'm pretty sure you're pushing it out. So basically, like on the, this is like an RV. You know how like on the RV they have like this.
Never had an RV before.
You never had an RV?
I heard you can rent them though.
Yeah, you can rent them too. But yeah, there's like a tube that you connect to, like when you go to the dump, you just.
The dump.
Yeah, the dump, the whatever, the gray water or whatever it's called, the bad stuff that you don't want to touch. So basically you put like a little hose and you put it in the hole and then you just open it up and then it drains everything.
Okay. Do you remember that, and actually we do have video for this. Do you remember that one job that when it was COVID, when everything stopped down, me and Eddie, we were starting doing junk removal. Mm-hmm. So we went to go cut up a RV unit that was in an abandoned parking lot.
Yeah,
and there was like, what was that, like heroin, other stuff in there.
Methamphetamine. Yeah. There was a rooster in there. And there's all sorts of stuff.
And then I remember you opened the thing. You said, don't open that. And then I think what Julia said over there, it might be filled with that stuff.
Oh, man, that thing stunk.
That would have been crazy. Now let's get to the next one. Okay, so now we went through the competitors. Check what your competitors have. Look over everything. Next thing is test and buy. Put it up there. If someone wants to go through it and you have enough demand, go ahead and buy it. The next last one is going to be the kind of the one that's going to drive specifically your business. Once you start actually generating clients and getting more customers, you're going to actually get the feedback from the customer. The customer tells you, hey, do you have 100 clear in black Shivari chairs that look like crossbacks, but not somehow? They're going to start saying crazy stuff to you. And then you'll start figuring out which stuff you want to get. Or it'll be like stuff that you might maybe never thought about. You know, maybe it'll be like, hey, do you have 40 coolers that we can use for a festival? It'll be like that. Or they'll be like, hey, do you have any, like, we're trying to rent a camera. You know, you can find your way in different stuff based on your market and based on what kind of what you want to go through. So that's kind of the last one. And that's kind of the ones that you like, you kind of will end at. Because we have a document that has all the missed opportunities. So this is everything that we don't have either because of quantity or because we just don't sell it. And we usually look through this as we go through and put stuff on the sites and stuff. We recently got some kids' picnic tables. So you see that it's like a little kid's picnic table. I think it's like, it's like 2 on each side or something like that. Mm. It's just, I don't know, it's a picnic table. But it's actually neat because it actually folds completely flat. You can stack on top of each other. And it works out. And they have adult ones, too, that we're going to use at some festivals next year. That works out. You got any other ones?
Well, that's pretty much it. And, I mean, about the three that we use.
The three amigos.
Three amigos, yeah. I mean, those are pretty much the methods that we use. But, like I said, my favorite one is the second one because I just like to put it out there. But that one and the third one's pretty good, too, because the customer's going to tell you exactly what they want or the missed opportunities, and then you can decide whether to get it or not.
Yeah.
All right, so the statistic that I have for you guys for this segment is the average survey response rate across all survey channels is actually 33%.
You know, it's one thing that we, I would say, have not done that much of, and I was thinking about this one time, like having like a kind of like a all customers hands on deck kind of like these are like the items that we're trying to do, or even I guess
give me like a mass email, kind of send everybody like, hey, this, and then get like their opinion on what we should buy, like kind of like a toll. I mean, not a toll. Is it a toll?
Yeah, a poll. I'm sorry, I'm saying toll. I was like, you trying to charge somebody?
No, poll. There you go.
Yeah, but I know some of the software sites like Force, Mojo, what is it called? Mm-hmm. They have a system where you can go, if you have any ideas, you can put the ideas in there, and then people can vote the ideas up, and then the top voted ideas they get, they add it to there. Now, some of the ones it takes longer is because it's like, you know, it's stuff that is not easy to do.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be like, I want a camera, this right here for $40.
Oh, my God. Like, everyone's like, I love that one.
I love that one. Dude, they just bid it up. But just for the actual items and stuff, I think that's something that we'll probably maybe look into in the future and do a couple different options like that. But let's get into Zen Business. So as I said before you start your business and everything, make sure you do your market research. Now, once you've done that market research and you went through this whole video, now it's time to set up your LLC so you can be legally and set up correctly the right way. Now, Zen Business offers a lot of whole suites of stuff that you can do. And I even seen Mark Cuban on here once. So, you know, you want to be like Mark, get you with your Zen Business and stuff like that. So make sure you check it out. It helps out the channel. Just a link down low. It is an affiliate link. So we do appreciate you if you're starting your business and you need a place to start it for. Get your LLC. I think they do it in about all 50 states. But thank you guys. And help us out. You know, let's get this money. So now you don't put all these different methods together. Now we have to see, like, which one should you actually choose? So we're going to do a couple examples. So if you go out here and you first, so you should have already put all your basics up there, you know, your white poly chairs, whatever area you're trying to go, just do the basics across the board. Now you need to be looking into exactly like what, you know, now we have all this data and stuff like that. Now what are we going to do? So what's a couple things that you see when you're like, oh, we should buy this? Like, what's a couple things that you know, like, are like certain? Like, if you see these things, like, we need to buy this.
I think one thing that we do every week that we're seeing a repeat of missed opportunities, eventually we pull the trigger because we just say, well, we're missing so much dollars. So if it's something like really obvious like that, that your customers are demanding it, if you're already running your business. But if you're just starting off, even if you do the second thing that we said to do, which is put it out there and see if you get any kind of a response on that item, if you get enough of demand, I mean, it's time to buy the item. You know,
yeah, what's enough, though? What's enough to you?
Well, I think it depends on the item as well, because like we know that each item, when it rents out, it's going to give you a certain percentage back on your actual investment. So, you know, if we're having
farm tables. Is it a farm table?
Say farm tables, okay? With that, I think we get, about, 5 rentals or 4 rentals, something like that? It's like 25-ish percentage. We get back on each rental. So, you know, if we're getting demand every week, and they're requesting multiple tables, which they usually do, then we pretty much pull the trigger on that, because we know that, especially in the fall, because I think that's when they go out the most, when people here in Texas anyways, fall weddings, it's like a main thing. It's like the staple of, you know, like that country kind of feel vibe. So I think originally we had built our own, and then we saw this.
The best investment that we've ever done. That item has gotten, they're not here no more, but it literally got us to the point where we can do what we are now with the farm table, I'm trying to say.
What we need to do is, I looked up on the rack and I saw one left, so we should probably frame it or take a picture and show people what it looks like.
We should do that, actually.
Yeah. But yeah, so just like that, if it's something that makes sense, and then just pull the trigger and go with it. And no one's asking for it. Yeah. You buy it because you're like, oh, I have a feeling. Sometimes your feelings aren't very good. Yeah. You know, the numbers make sense.
And what's the time frame? What's the time frame you say? Let's say you get 2 requests, and if you get 2 requests for it, and in what time frame does that make sense? And 2 requests in a week, 2 requests in 2 years.
I mean, like
20 requests in 3 years.
It depends on the item and the cost too. You know, I mean, let's say, talking about like $10, and like you don't have much to lose. But if the item's like $500. And you know, and you're gonna jump the gun in the first week, you know, and also it depends on the demand too. Like if they want it right then and that week, then we might pass on that. But if it's something that far enough out, you know, you want to take the risk and jump on it that first week, you could do that. But then you have to weigh the benefit of doing that versus waiting and see if you get more demand than just that first week. So me personally, I would wait. You know, if you're planning to be in business for a long time, try not to rush in things, because we both know when you're rushing things, and that's when you have like issues, and then you learn these hard lessons. So if you can wait, you know, maybe 2 to 3 weeks and see if you can get even more demand, then that's great. But if those two requests in that first week would come close to what you would pay for the item, then it just makes sense, because you're that much closer to get your money back.
Yeah, and also too, look at the other items that are on there. And if the person's like, well, I don't want to rent, like if I don't rent this too, then I'm not renting anything with you. So that's a big thing. So I know for us too, like some of the items were like, these are like the cornerstones of the items, like of all the whole order, we'll get it just because you know, if it's a $4,000 order and we have to buy something for $500, we'll probably get that one specifically just because it'll make, if we can sell the item, because our profit will be just more than that. And then we'll have the item too. But we try to really kind of center it around like something that we actually like, that we can use. And worst work, we'll just discount the item, just have it rent out cheaply for that. But like, it just depends on the situation. But I would say, just can we get some quick math so you can understand? If you get four people or four requests for this item in a week to 2 week span, so 14 days, then go in and pull the trigger. Or go in and sell one for the future, and then you can pull the trigger later on. But you know what I'm saying? I'm going and trying to get that. That's kind of the general idea.
Yeah.
Now, if it's something like special, like something like very specific, and like you're doing like the dance floor with the LED lights on it, and like all this stuff right here, like
it's a little bit harder appeal to specialty kind of customers who want that.
Yeah.
Because I know the price tag on that thing is going to be high, yeah. And only a certain amount of people are going to want that.
Yeah, four rentals might only cover 10%. And as the bigger the rental items get, and especially the ones that can last a lot longer, or supposed to be, like I said, like a restroom trailer, you're not going to pay 10% each rental for a restroom trailer.
No.
You might be paying like 5 or 2% of the actual item.
Yeah.
So you have to take that into, you know, what you call it. But also, too, you have to understand, does your item, like, let's say the farm tables. The farm tables have a little bit of service into them, because you have to carry, you know, what was it? I think our farm table was like 70, 80, 100 pounds. The ones that we created with thick two by fours that go across it and stuff.
Yeah. Hey, you can jump on those and dance on them. They're nice and sturdy.
Yeah. You did the moonwalk, everything. Whole party up there.
Yep.
Yeah, the weakest part
was... You slam somebody on it, it won't break.
Yeah. This is not one of them WWE ones.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, Rey Mysterio!
Your back will break, but that table's not going to break.
Yeah, that table's not going to break. The first legs we put on that one time, which I have photos of.
The skinny one that, like, they missed leg day?
Yeah, it was like the ones from that, you know, that one movie. You've probably seen a lot lately since the girls. The Beauty and the Beast one. Mm-hmm. And they had the little legs on the little things like that, and they crawl across.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. So so you want to kind of do that. But generally, if you're in between a 10% to 25% return on your rentals, then that's kind of the general point. Like I would say from 6 to 4, then you can pull the trigger in like a, let's say 14, maybe 30-day period. If you're in a, you know, if you're maybe on something that, you know, is a little bit higher than that, then you can go from 4 to 2, mm-hmm. Like a 25 to 50. If you're doing something that has service with it, then you can technically, when they do it, you can just buy it.
Or like even like the linen stuff. When people say, I want this linen, yep, we have it. Because they literally pay for it and some, because they're paying for the service that goes into it. So stuff like that, that's an easy, if a customer asks for it, you don't have it, just order it online.
Yeah. And the linens, like Eddie said, the service portion is big. The service is actually worth more than the actual linens of getting them ironed. So like you might, so that's when your process is going in place. If it costs you $5 to wash, iron this linen, then, you know, that usually might get you 4 to 3 times on top of the service price of that part, plus the linen cost, mm-hmm. and you can kind of go in and get that. So for linens, it's pretty, like, really, really just open. The only linen that is not, like, we have some stuff that is kind of not open, which are, like, the sequin, because mm-hmm. those, like, to get really good ones, those are, like, $70 up to $100. And that's not even like the ones that drop down to the floor.
Yeah.
And so, like, those are a little bit more special. But usually with linens, we kind of just go with it, the whole flow of it. But those can get damaged. So you can't wash those. You have to, I think you have to hand wash those,
hand wash them,
Or you get flakes everywhere. So some of the stuff you don't look into. But now, when you get to the 10 to 5%, then you need to be seeing demand on like multiple people asking for it. Like if it's 10% of it, especially if it's a lower item, cost item, then you need to be looking at that a lot. So like if you're looking at like, which 10 to 5% is usually your basic items, like your tents, your tables, your chairs, all that stuff like that. So usually nothing there, but sometimes you have another set, which is that 5 to 2, which would be like people come ask for a restroom trailer. Like the first time somebody asks for a restroom trailer, don't go out and spend $40,000. Like I think that's the cost. It's like a site or something.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
It's right.
Yeah, it's around there, like maybe 30, 40. 40. Yeah.
I guess it depends what
the nice one, the big ones that have like two men's and women's, and then you go in there and have like two stalls and AC and all that stuff.
Yeah, a water fountain.
Oh yeah.
No, I mean like a real like full on. A water fountain. A water fountain. You have one of those. You have a guy in there with towels.
Oh yeah,
that
yeah.
Comes with it.
Comes with it. Yeah.
Yeah, Jeffrey.
A little robot.
A little robot too. Yeah. So you get into those stuff, and that's why you don't want to do that straight from there. But those work too. But you're not the first time that someone does that. Or like you know, because people are going to see going to ask you for a lot of things. We've had basically someone ask us almost. I'm not saying everything, but like majority of stuff you can possibly imagine. Someone has asked us for, you know, to do or whatever. You know, we have people still now ask us to cut their grass when we get there. But it just works. Yeah. but so that's general stuff. So generally, most of your big assets, this is stuff you should be able to rent out every single week. And it's going to keep its value. Usually those items are from $10,000 to $40,000, $50,000 will be between that 5 to 2% range every time it comes out. And then those would be the ones that technically still make a lot of money, but you don't have to you wouldn't have to do a lot of service or stuff really with it, and it would be kind of hands off and like dropping the trailers and stuff off. That's kind of like when you get into those type of things, because usually you'll run those for 2-4 years or so, and then you'll sell it for half the cost, and you make all that money, and then buy a new one with the extra proceeds. That's kind of like the general flow that you go with that. That works out.
So most companies spend between 5 to 20% of their annual revenue on market research.
5 to 10%?
5 to 20%.
Yeah. So I can tell you right now, that is not going to be in this market and our stuff. You spend 5 to 10, 20%, you're probably not going to have, that might be like.
Might as well buy the items with
that money. Yeah, you might as well buy the items with that money. But it's interesting. And that's the thing I like about this industry. You don't need to spend as much money to be able to get the same results back. But because like 10-25%, depending on how big you are, that might be your whole profit margin, or you know, or whatever.
I hope not.
Or whatever it is. If it's 25%, if you were 25% and you were running that, you know, $150 million, you know, that's expensive. Okay. I'm saying that might be like you know somebody's stuff like that. And also too, a lot of other places. For us, we get a lot of feedback. And one thing you realize in this industry, like you, it was no short feedback. You know exactly where you stand with the customer. Like there is no if then or like, oh, you know, they didn't tell me. Mm-hmm. Like they tell us all times. Like they might not tell you in your face, but they will call back up. Like we had an incident with Kobe. The lady said it was, oh, everything's perfect, everything's good. And then the lady later that day was like, what happened? What was the story kind of?
No. So the lady later on that day was like complaining, and then Kobe's like, well, she told me everything was great. And I asked her at that time, because what happened was, basically, we moved the pickup date 1 day later. So we said, can pick it up tomorrow. And the customer said, yeah, no problem. And Kobe's the one that did all the whole interaction and everything. And then even when Kobe went to pick it up, he's like, oh, everything's great. Thank you. And then later on, you know, what we do is we do like a double back and we check with the customers. Hey, how was your event? Their event was great, but y'all inconvenienced me. And then she's like, okay, tell me more. And then she's like, yeah, so the y'all called and said you didn't have anybody to pick it up. We're like, we didn't say that. Like, okay. And then they were like, yeah. And then now I have to be inconvenienced and move my whole schedule because of y'all. So y'all didn't stick to what you originally said y'all were going to do. So I'm like, okay. And then, you know, Kobe's argument was like, well, if the lady really had an issue, why didn't she tell me instead of saying, yeah, everything's okay. And yeah. So I'm like, well, I think y'all both are right in a sense. But, you know, obviously we're going to. Lean more towards the customer.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's difficult because you're going to see a lot of times customers won't argue with you right there. I'm not saying now there are some that will.
And Kobe's a little intimidated.
Yeah, or Kobe is intimidated.
He's on there like,
let's put a photo of Kobe. Like,
oh, yes, everything's Kobe. Great.
Wait, that's not Kobe. Put a real photo of Kobe. but let's put a photo of Kobe up. Yeah, but that happens and, you know, I think we've seen that the most. I've actually seen it even when sometimes you tell them that you're the, you can even tell them you're the owner. Sometimes they won't even argue with you right there. They'll be what you call it. And then they'll call back in. They were like, and they'll be like, this person did this. But then when you leave there, they'll be like, everything's perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then, I don't know. It's just how it works. It's part of the game.
I'm used to it.
Yeah. It's just customer support and stuff like that. People are going to have issues with certain things. And your thing is just to get it right done. Get it right the first time. Yeah. And then one thing, the one rule that Kobe messed up on that we learned is that he didn't record the conversation. And he didn't send a text or email that could be followed up with it that has them confirming it so that it can be double confirmed. Because then it comes to a he said, she said stuff. Yeah. And then anytime you're in a situation like that, you will always lose. It's just how it works. Just because at the end of the day, they're not saying the customer has more power than you. I'm just trying to say that, like, we need the customers, and obviously they need us to do certain things too. But people will look at, obviously, you as a huge business and you're taking advantage of customers. When realistically, most times I've seen in business, customers are taking advantage of you, not the opposite way around. It's rarely, I mean, you have to be a pretty big size company to be able to do that. And, yeah. You know, I hope to get there, but that's going to take some time on there. So this next thing we're going to talk about is kind of like the identifying marketing trends and stuff like that, or the market trends. So this could be because we took it off. You tell me if I'm right on this one. Mm-hmm. I remember at one point in time, the silver Shavari chair were a little bit more popular than the gold Shavari chairs, but it seemed like that has completely shifted to straight gold.
Yeah,
like we almost get, like, even if we put them up there, when we had them up there, people don't even look at it.
Yeah, that's true. I think the trends kind of change from year to year. Like, for instance, like, not too long ago, I'm pretty sure people that are probably listening to this, like the foam parties and stuff like that, that was like really big whenever it was like first came out. And
then I love them foam parties.
Now it's kind of like, you know, simmered down. I mean, I see a lot of people selling that stuff. Or even but when it was something like the white bounce houses, like they were really like, everyone's like, white bounce house. And then I see a couple, but most of the people were like regretting getting into the thing. But yeah, certain trends, like they really pop and everyone jumps on board, and then it kind of, like, you know, basically slows down.
Yeah, I feel like the white bounce houses, you have to literally you have to completely charge a lot more and just have certain settings. But I see some ones that people have, some really nice ones. I think the hype has died down about them, but I have seen a couple businesses that are still kicking pretty good. Mm-hmm. But it's only like the ones who, like, truly, you know, which they had white bounces before the white bounce houses were cool. Yeah. So, but a lot of people I see who are kind of like getting into the trend and stuff have gotten kind of like thrust to the side. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that one video, which we had to put up the video or the photo of, is like a, you can rent a blow up nightclub?
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's really cool, actually.
I just be scared everything might blow away.
Yeah, you in the middle, like that.
Light's getting like, good, like, and then it's so hot. And I'm just thinking it's going to be so hot in there. You know, everybody, you know, creating body heat, and you got like 100
maybe
people.
Maybe they got an AC,
like,
in there. Maybe they
like rave and stuff.
Maybe they got four blowers to the side, yeah, and it's pushing through the back of it, and it creates an AC unit. One of them is an AC unit, but the boat.
Everything I've seen is like a little ball in the middle, and then like lights everywhere, and then like, yeah. It looks like a rave to me.
It looks cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. But I'm just thinking,
what do you think be happening in those parties?
Man, I don't know, but it looks fun. But I don't know.
How big are those?
You just like pray nobody has a knife or anything in there, because that thing's about to go down.
How big you think those things are?
Oh, they're pretty big. They're like, I've seen them huge. I've even looked at some that like are paintball fields, kind of like indoor paintball fields. They can blow up with multiple blowers. So those things can get huge. I mean, they can be like 60 by like 120. They're big.
Dang.
And they run off multiple
How
blowers.
Big do those come? Those must come in like a whole truck or something.
Man, I don't know.
Rolling that thing out must be like a...
Maybe it's like in sections, but them things are huge.
And then it's just like attached together,
yeah, exactly.
Zip together or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, exactly. Like certain sections.
Oh, that's cool.
Then each blower blows up each section.
Since if it's that kind of like grade, do you think you could just stake it down like with a regular stake?
Man, I don't know. I'm not even trying to invest in that and find out. Yeah. Like, where do you stake this thing?
Oh, but I'm saying, like, if they had it and they had like just the regular tent things,
yeah,
and like the actual things where the hooks and stuff, and if it's good material,
yeah, Well, my thing is, it's like a wall. You know what I'm saying? Like, one thing we know about with like a tent, once you put like tent walls on it, like it's more. What was it called? It creates more surface area for the wind to blow against it. So, I'm pretty sure it's good, but I think it just has to have ideal weather conditions.
Yeah. If you have one of these, put a comment that thing down. Comment for me and Eddie can go down there
and party.
In yeah, there. We can check it out and see what's going on. Who knows? Maybe we can get somebody with a wind tunnel, put it in there, and see how long it lasts. Not
wind tunnel.
Not yours specifically, but like a model of one, and something like that. You know, one of the small wind tunnels you can kind of scale down. I don't know. We can kind of see something. Who knows? Probably not. Yeah. But if you have one of these nightclub bounce houses, let us know. Tina, would you go to a party at one of these nightclub bounce houses?
I've never gone to a nightclub, period. So, yeah, I'll try it out.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to do a video of us taking Tina to the Bounce House nightclub. And then she can be on that one video. I don't know if you guys seen that one video we had that we posted, the short, where the people are holding the tent. It's going to be Tina going to be on there.
Just let it go.
Yeah, but if you guys know anything about it, let us know. We would love to understand more. You know, obviously, that's not something that we personally have done. But we've seen, bounce houses that have nets through them get pushed over and blown up in the air. So we would imagine that. But who knows? Maybe if it's not cloudy or not rain, not windy, then it's fine. But yeah, there's a lot of different trends out there. I know one person said that throne chairs were a trend, where they were. I think you just want to market them, right? Because I don't think our throne chairs have went down at all, really. Like, I mean, I think we have like a slight dip. But nothing too crazy. Yeah. And if you're trying to look for like an easy way to kind of go through the process and find out if what you're going to buy is kind of trendy or not trendy, you can just go to Google Trends and just type in your stuff, and it'll tell you the search volume from everything based on the highest volume of it.
I actually remember the comment. So it was someone from New York. They said that throne chairs weren't really a trend anymore in New York and that it's just gone down.
Yeah. I think it said, but then I looked it up over there, and I seen people still renting them. Yeah. So, I mean, so you'll see different trends pop up. The biggest thing, you got to just test the trend, see what works. Just because something is trendy doesn't mean that you shouldn't get it, but you can do that, but kind of stick to your basics. One thing I've seen with a lot of people who do lounge rentals, which is an interest area that we're really, really interested into, I really like, it's a lot of different stuff, you know, just with the couches, getting everything to settle, just a whole different type of vibe and experience. Maybe something that you guys get to see as we will. We'll dive into that in one of these years and build something out like that. I like that because you have to kind of think about what's going to not just be good today, what's going to look good in the future. And then the lifespans of those items are usually only 2 years or so from what I've seen and heard from different podcasts or different people that kind of do this stuff. We like those. I just wonder about like those all white ones. Like, how do you keep those white?
I just think it's the same thing. Just like, use certain cleaners that creates like a barrier on the, because like we know blue jeans and stuff like that rub off on those white items, or use a good magic eraser and get it off immediately.
Yeah, or I was thinking
a plastic thing.
What did they do, the plastic thing that you talked about?
You could,
like, in your throne chairs too, on your seat area, which when we get some new ones, that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna take a little plastic thing and build it around it so that it kind of keeps those air, at least the seat area. Like, you don't have to be everywhere, but just the main part of the seat area, just kind of like get that stapled in or however we plan to do it. But I think that'll work out for that. No. But let's get into the rental rundown.
All right, so the first question that I have for you guys is, what were some unexpected insights you gained from conducting market research?
Yeah, I think trash cans was the first one, coolers. People rent extension cords. People rent the three-way adapters.
Yeah.
What was some of yours?
I think that was it. Just like that's why I like rentals, because like people rent everything. They even rent individuals. You know, when you think about it,
Eddie for rent.
Yeah, right. but yeah, they rent everything. I mean, like you said, three-way plugs, and you're like, well, I could just go to the store and get it. Yeah, but most of the people like convenience, so like you bring everything. Then they love that stuff.
TVs.
Yeah. Just like a whole array of different things that I would think, like, why would anybody rent? I didn't even know people rented tables, like, not tables, but like plates and spoons and knives and all that. But like,
it makes sense now, because who really has 200 or 300 plates?
Yeah,
who's right. Sane?
Yeah. Yeah, but like in the beginning when I first started, I had no idea that people ran all this stuff.
And that's actually me and Eddie's first business that we kind of got together was the plates and stuff. We started with like 300 basic forks. We'll show a photo of some of these forks and stuff. But like, yeah, but this is really basic.
They were basic. Yeah. Really basic.
We did a couple jobs, and that was like the only issue that someone had was specifically was that the forks was a little bit plain. But they like the plates, they like the cups and stuff, and everything. And a quick little win right there, you can get a lot of the cups from the Dollar Tree. You can not rent them, but you can buy them offline. And they work pretty well. And even like when I see other people's stuff, it's pretty much, they're really around the same kind of quality around there for the most part. But Tina, what do you think is the interesting thing that we rent?
Well, I was surprised that we rented out coolers. I always thought, like, who would even rent out a cooler? Like, why not just go to the store and buy it? Like, because it's, like, what, $20 or something?
Oh, no. Not ours. No, they're, like, $70.
No, those coolers are $100.
They are?
The big ones, the white ones were $100 at first.
Not anymore.
Oh, if I see them, but yeah, $79 then.
Yeah, they're, like, yeah, $69.99
or something. Yeah, like $79, I think.
I'm pretty sure they're $69.99. I got the hookup.
We'll put it up here to see who's... But think about this right here. You can go buy that, or you can get actually a really good one that's actually sizable. And then I think the biggest thing that we've noticed is not just the cost of the rental, it's the space that it takes up. Because if you start to buy this stuff, it's just like eat through people's garages. And I know you've seen someone's garages, like, why you got all this stuff in here? And then because like we used to clean out garages. And if I knew, we should have kept so much stuff that we cleaned out from the garages and stuff. People just, because they just, you accumulate this stuff and you don't use it. Because you buy it one time and then you never have another event outside, or
even like the pop-up tents. Like anybody can go to get a pop-up tent, but they'd rather rent it.
Yeah, and just because it's just, you know, anything that's gone, it's off of the stuff. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be that person pop-up tent going down the street in the middle of the night. But it just works for that stuff.
The second question that I have for you guys is: how has market research contributed to the growth and expansion of your business?
I think I don't want to say everything, but like every single product on there on our site had some type of, I guess everything I've sold besides the original chairs and tables have been through some effort of market research.
Yeah, hey, even like the whole decision of like focusing our spending on specific items. You know, for instance, I think it's this Friday we have Snicker
come.
I always say sneaker.
Yeah.
Because I always say, hey, Snicker con. They're like, a Snicker.
Yeah.
So, how do you
people start moving.
Yeah, just like that. Like, you know, like they wanted 500 tables, you know, or 600 tables. Or whatever. And, you know, certain requests, and then we just see the profitability of sealing the deal. Every year they come back to us. And then we also have other events that are big that require a large amount of tables, stuff like that. We've just decided that, you know, we're going to put our efforts into that because those are easy wins and they come every year. Then on top of that, whenever the demand's high, like we'll just say for Thanksgiving or stuff like that, where a lot of people demand a large numbers of tables and chairs, now we're able to provide the quantities that they demand because we've invested on certain things from our market research, you know what I mean? And then even like the same thing with like the tents and stuff like that, that we're kind of pushing more towards. All this is coming from the market research that me and Xavier have done. And it's really influenced the whole aspect of our inventory and like our crew sizes and how they work, the number of hours that our business runs on, and then just overall, like, you know, the whole operation. So it's contributed a lot to it.
But we want to say thank you guys so much for watching us. Make sure you go in and get the ultimate checklist. The link's down in the description and is the first comment. Please get it. It's free. I think a new version just came out not so long ago. So you'll see that. So that's pretty good. But thank you guys. I'm Xavier Kelly.
I'm Eddie Salceda.
And we'll see you in the next one. And make sure you click those links down below and watch one of these videos that pop up.